Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark, and we actually have a fun show and a positive show and not a negative show. As the Giants snuck back to 500.
Yeah, it's nice to do these shows when we're not tail spinning and, you know, heading for the water. So that's good. It was a good couple of weeks. Giants offense has been really good the last couple of weeks too, which is
home runs and 15 games in a row.
Yeah, it's nice to see wins that aren't just plastered on the starting pitching. If the starting pitching falters, we're screwed. If they pitch well, we may win if we can score two or more runs. So it's nice to finally have these games where we're rolling out 15 runs and 8 runs and 7 runs. I mean, it's very refreshing. A little late, but very refreshing.
I saw a movie the other day called Caught Stealing.
Yeah.
With Austin Butler. And it is set in 1998. And there is a Giants theme in this movie, and Austin Butler's character and his mom, who is played by Laura Dern, but it's very late in the film. You see her. They are hardcore Giants fans. And so this is their relationship, and they're having a conversation about how the Giants can score 18 runs one day and can't score one the next day. And I was like, oh my gosh, here we are 27 years later having the same conversation. And then these last 2 weeks, they're actually able to score multiple runs in several games in a row. The bats don't go hot. And then the next game go completely cold. They're actually hitting consistently, which is really, really fun to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing about it is now, I'll play cynic for 10 seconds here, and then we'll move on from cynicism. Is what happens, and this happens a lot, is they will play pretty well late in the season and still not make the playoffs and then ruin their draft pick for the next year. And that very well may happen right now this year. But what you and I have said in the past, when it happens this way, we don't like losing. So
no.
I would, you know, if you want to be the Astros and lose 105 games, so be it. That is one way to to kind of get back into the swing of things, get some higher players in the draft. But the Giants, historically, they have not, they can't tank. They know that the kind of the recipe to fandom out here in the Bay Area is to try and compete, which sometimes means you're going to be 500 in doing so. And that's kind of where they are this year. What do we have, about 30-ish, a little bit less than 30 games left, I think. 25 games or so left in the season, something like that. So how they fare in these next several weeks is going to be fun to watch, because if they just play 500 ball, they're going to be 81-81, which is kind of probably what we thought, very close to what we thought. Maybe 85-86 was kind of what we thought maybe they could get to. Or they can win like 17 games and be in the race, which would be fun. It'd be fun to see them play up to what we thought they could play up to and what they showed a lot of in the first half, which is this ability to stay in games and then win games when they need to. And, you know, really what we're seeing is what the offense could be when some of these guys are hot rather than everyone cold at the same time. You're seeing Devers, Adames. Adames did go through a cold spell before this recent hot spell.
Yeah.
You know, I think Jung-Hoo Lee's probably been slightly disappointing all year long as far as his consistency is concerned. Same with Elliot Ramos. But to get some production out of Casey Schmidt and Luis Matos and guys like that who we thought would be able to help the team at some point this year, and finally they are showing that. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in some instances, if you're watching and you go, oh, we're doing this again, and they're not bad enough to get a great pick, and they're not good enough to make the playoffs, that is kind of what we're dealing with. And it is really the, you know, it's just the reality of the situation. But I would rather see them play good baseball than not play good baseball, because
yeah,
bad baseball is not fun to watch. And right now the Giants are fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, they had a stinker the other day. Trying to remember the score. It was a little bit of a blowout against the Orioles on Saturday when they lost 11-1. But that was really kind of their only dark spot for the last couple of weeks, which is, you know, which is fun because, again, when you're a Giants fan and you're a baseball fan, like you said, you just want to watch good baseball. I don't want to tune in. I mean, I love these guys. I love these players. I mean, you know, watching Drew Gilbert right now is
yeah.
It's kind of a joy for everybody. I mean, there's articles being written about him.
It's your kind of player, too.
Absolutely. I'll take nine of those guys any day. But to, you know, just tune in and watch a guy like that hit a home run and just go nuts and watch him go nuts when other guys hit home runs. It just gets to be, you know, infectious in the dugout and the clubhouse and everything else. So it's really awesome and fun to watch. So I'm all on board with winning baseball. I don't care if it's too little, too late. You know, if the Giants miss the playoffs by one game, yeah, you can look at stretches earlier in the season as to, you know, why it dumped them out of a playoff spot. And that's fine. You could do that with any season almost. But you learn from it. And that's the key. And I think Buster Posey is building a team. Again, pointing to Drew Gilbert, pointing to Rafi Devers, who's absolutely on fire right now. Mm-hmm. Thomas, who is becoming the guy we thought he was going to become. You know, and actually playing good defense too.
Yeah, that was nice to see because I was kind of calling him out of the position by next year already, going like, oh man, we got a third baseman and we already have a third baseman, but he's picked it up. He absolutely has.
Yeah, just so, kind of almost like done watching him at shortstop, but then he puts together this month of you know, defensive baseball at short, and we're like, oh, okay, let's get a full season of this guy next
year. Exactly. And so Rob has a really good question, and I actually have an answer because I've just finished reading Alex Pavlovich's book on the Giants, which was really good. It was fun.
I fell off because vacation ended and I got back to the real world. And so I picked it up again last night. So I'm at like 55% or something.
It's a quick and easy read too, but
yeah.
It just brings back good memories. Okay. So Rob, shout out to Rob, who is in the chat on the Yahoo, the YouTube live stream. So Rob says the Warriors tanked in 2020, the Sharks have tanked, the Niners have tanked. Why are the Giants obsessed with 500 ball? And it's a relevant question, is what we opened the show with. And the reason, as far as I can tell, the reason has to do with the live crowd. The filling up that stadium is necessary for the operations of baseball in San Francisco. And like, I don't know what would happen if they just decided to take the air out of the balloon and they went like 61 and 101. Would that mean that they did less than 2 million fans or something like that? I don't know for sure, but I've just heard that they need that place at maximum capacity as much as possible for them to run the business. You know, they don't have the purse strings of the Dodgers, of course. And this is also a, you know, it is a big market, but to not have like the crazy Dodgers and Yankees and Red Sox cable deals behind you, though I would imagine the Bay Area Sports Network is a good one to have for them. But it's just when, you know, when you're maybe not the top level ownership and market, and you're kind of maybe in that next tier down, live crowd seems to mean a lot to them as far as how they run their overall day to day. And so if you do pull the team off the field and go, okay, we're going to tank, what does that mean to your live audience? And what does that mean to the people watching your station on NBC Sports Bay Area? Cause that's a whole different thing that's going to, we're going to start seeing happen in the next couple of years is, you know, Major League Base, like ESPN already, they have, I think they have 5 teams as part of this new relationship with the MLB, and they're going to sell the local rights to those fans in those markets. Now, the Giants, I think, are good with NBC Sports Bay Area, but if the bottom falls out of that, then you're looking at making less money on your local deal. And so I think it's all tied into that, Rob, and it is, I think it's just part of being in San Francisco. And putting a team right downtown in San Francisco, I think that for their operation to run, they just have to draw fans.
Yeah, and I think a part of it too, again, baseball, and you know, it's just kind of how it is. It's different to tank in baseball than it is in basketball and football, in other sports, because if you tank, you know, before the lottery came to baseball and you got the number one pick, that's great. The number one pick doesn't always pan out, as we've seen in other sports, but you're also not going to see that guy for 4 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. So keeping, you know, butts in the seats and keeping the lights on and keeping bills paid in that ballpark. And the Giants are trying to go for it. I mean, that's the other thing too. The Giants, they really are trying to go for it. And you feel that and you see that. Especially with Buster Posey there now, I think he's trying to remake the team into his vision, and it started with Willie Adames, and it just kind of goes from there. I don't want to see a tanking baseball team, hopefully for the rest of my life, but you know, you're going to at some point, but we have seen some bad Giants teams that weren't tanking on purpose, but they lost 90 games. But they also had Lincecum, Bumgarner, and Kane waiting in the wings to come up and kind of, you know, resurrect things. So there's always a lot of turnover in baseball, and you always hope for that crop of minor leaguers to come up. And I think the Giants are building that right now. I mean, look at Single A. Giants have a lot of players there. So if they can keep building and keep pushing, there's no reason to go to, you know, become a 90 to 95 lost team. You can keep fighting and stay right around your salary and still make money, because you're getting people in to buy concessions and merchandise.
I think what we are seeing as far as roster construction is the idea, and Jarrett and I talked about this last week when Brad was on vacation. Not technically vacation, but he was out of town. And what we, you know, the idea that when you are run by someone like Farhan, who a lot of his decisions were sort of risk averse, like the idea of winning by on the margins and not making mistakes, not making the big mistake to set you back. Yeah, you're going to, you know, you're going to, if you do not put that roster together like they did in 2021, then there's going to be some averageness in, and that's what we saw post 2021. Right now, we saw Buster go for it. We saw him go for it with Devers. Whether that was the right guy to go after or not, he showed a willingness to pull the trigger on that deal. I don't know what that sets them up for in the future. I don't know if that means he's going to be more risky when it comes to trades, and we'll have to sort of let that play out. But I think that Devers deal suggests that he didn't like coming in second on a lot of these guys. So instead, if I'm going to come in second on these guys, why don't why don't I push for the trade and see if I can get these guys who, you know, who are going to be around for a long time. So, it, you know, and that is also something Farhan was not really able to do sans, I guess, 2021 when they traded for Chris Bryant. He was able to make that deal, but it wasn't, you know, the trade deadline, we would get so excited and then we just get disappointed because nothing would happen. He wouldn't even sell off the guys that they had.
Right.
He was that risk averse.
Well, yes, but remember, he did get like crazy good deals for Mark Melanson, for Drew Pomeranz. I mean, so he's, you know, he did the little deals that brought you back some guys that did play parts for the Giants. But yeah, they weren't splashes. I mean, it's not stuff we sit here and we talk about and go, oh, remember that Drew Pomeranz deal and who we got back. But yeah, I mean, there's really a lot that goes into it. And I think the Giants tried to go one way. They tried to go the Farhan analytics. You know, let's get rid of the trainers rooms and let's add more computers and servers and whatnot. And let's try to do it one way. Well, it didn't work. I mean, it worked in 21. But again, it worked because you had aging veterans who had career years.
Then, do you know how many home runs they hit that year? I was reading back. Oh my gosh.
Right? I mean,
they hit like over, they led the league in home runs. It was amazing.
Yeah. And you're talking about guys over like 32, 33 years old who were leading the team. And that was the year Belt hit 29. If he doesn't break his finger, maybe he hits 30. Maybe he breaks that streak that we're looking at Adama's working on right now to get to 30 home runs. But yeah, they tried to go one way. And I think ownership, you know, partly because Buster Posey was part of ownership, decided, look, we got to push ourselves over the edge. We got to get those rings back. That's what brought in not only the fandom, but that's what brought in the money and everything to the city. I mean, how important it is to the city and the Bay Area in general to have, you know, championship ball clubs. We just saw it with the Warriors. I mean, everything they went through. I'm not a basketball fan, but in Reno, Nevada, I was watching basketball during the playoffs. I was watching the Warriors because it's exciting. You know, that's just fun to do. And it got me interested. And then I didn't buy one, but I almost bought a Warriors hat. I was like, oh, maybe I get a Warriors hat. But I didn't want people to ask me, like, you know, how'd the game go last night, blah, 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 and be able to, like, coherently talk about it. So I didn't do that. But yeah, so, yeah, you know, that, and that's what the Giants are doing. They're trying to get out of that 500 funk. And after the first 2 months of the season, we thought this is the year we get out of that 500 funk. And maybe we do this year. I mean, there's still, like you said, there's 20 plus games left. And if the Giants could finish, you know, well above 500, then all of a sudden you go, okay, we're building and next year is going to be a little bit different.
All right. So as of right now, the Giants are about to play if they haven't already started. We're not going to talk about that game because the audio won't be posted until after the game is over. But as of right now, as we are having this conversation, they are at 500. They are 69-69 within 5 games of the wild card spot, in which the Mets are the last wild card right now. I don't know. What do you think they have a chance? And we'll pull up the schedule here in a second. Do you think they have a chance to get this within, you know, 2 or 3 games to where the fans can really get excited?
You know, I think they do. They're playing some, I mean, you said we're going to pull up the schedule. I already have it up.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they've got, you know, 7 games against the Dodgers. Other than that, you got Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Cardinals, Rockies. And they've got a couple more games against the Rockies before they play the Rockies at the end of the season. So, yeah, I mean, there's a real chance the Giants can make it interesting. But again, you're in the time right now where you got to rely on everybody else and you're sitting, what, 5 games back, 5.5 games back, whatever it is. And the Mets are winning tonight. So you look at that and you go, well, no matter what we do tonight, no matter what we do tonight, but if we lose tonight, now you've widened that gap and things are, you know, a little more discouraging. So they've got to win a lot of ball games between now and the end of the season to get there. They have a chance to. It's a slim chance, but crazy stuff happens in baseball all the time. The Mets collapsed earlier this season. They could absolutely collapse again anytime soon. The Padres are only two games ahead of the Mets, which puts us seven games behind them. We had our opportunity against them to do some damage. We didn't do that. So, you know, that's kind of a lot of opportunities wasted just a couple of weeks ago. And now we're in the situation we're in. But again, you know, we talked about it and we weren't really expecting to be fighting for a playoff spot once the collapse happened. But seeing guys really start to come around like Adamas and Devers and Gilbert and Ryan Walker getting his feet back under him. You know, all that's good for next year. And, you know, I see a lot on social media that, well, Bob Melvin can coach in games that don't matter. It's like, well, he can also coach in games that matter. It's just a matter of the response. And you know, it's up to the hitters to go out there and do their job. It's up to the pitchers to go out there and do their job. There probably will be a shakeup, I would imagine, on the coaching staff somewhere. I don't think it's going to be Bob Melvin, but it's probably going to be somewhere. See a lot of talk. And I know you brought this up and we talked about it, but Bruce Bochy is out of contract after the Texas Rangers, are possibly out of the playoffs. And at the end of the season, he's out of contract. Does he come back to the Giants? I mean, yeah, the Giants re-upped Melvin, but they can easily just say, well, we re-upped you, but we're going to, you know.
I talked to
Farhan, so.
And I talked to Jared about this last week, and his prediction was that both coaches just stay where they are. But yeah, it is probably a fun idea. It is a really fun idea. And yeah, if, again, going back to the Pavlovich book, Bruce Bochy was just so masterful in those years. But he also had years in which they did not play well as well. So let's kind of take a look at some of the other things that are going on with the team. So the reason why Ryan Walker is back in the closing spot is because Randy Rodriguez, the youngster, had to go on the 60-day, and it looks like he's going to undergo Tommy John surgery. Now, Rodriguez said his elbow was hurting last year.
Yeah.
And he pitched through the pain, which is kind of ridiculous and kind of crazy. I liked to jokingly call him eighth inning Randy because I thought he was so masterful in the seventh and eighth inning and not as great in the ninth inning. But it could be that the elbow was just barking a little bit harder near the end of this season when he got put into that role. Stress obviously is much bigger in the ninth inning. But I mean, he's going to be gone for a full year. So they're more than likely going to be closer shopping next year, maybe for a long-term, not a long-term guy, but maybe a vet who could come in for a year before Rodriguez gets back. And then you have Walker there as well. Maybe you even get Tyler Rogers back, because I know he really liked it here. So that's a bummer. And, you know, young pitcher, made the all-star team, was lights out, really. So it's really unfortunate for him, and kind of feel really bad that he's, you know, at this point. But this is kind of baseball in today's day and age. Like, you know, JJ and I are playing a lot of the show in the ranked games, and the announcer every third game, the announcer goes to the whole thing about, yeah, you know, this is just how baseball is. Everyone's throwing harder than ever. And this is what it is, right? I mean, we see this with the Dodgers. We see this, that they have constant players who deal with this every single year. And it's because of the way that they train their pitchers. And, you know, bringing up Jared again, last year I had this conversation with him, and he said he talked to a big leaguer who said that if he had protected his arm, he would have probably been in the 92-93 range, never would have made the big leagues. But when he decided that he was going to go for it and throw as hard as humanly possible, he lasted like 3 or 4 years in the big leagues and made a roster, and then he blew out his elbow. And that's really what the decision that these guys have to make is, you know, do I come in and throw 98, or do I throw 93? And I could probably throw 93 for 15 years, but then I don't even make the league. And so, not to say that that's Randy, but that is just kind of baseball today. Is it's all about the velocity. So that is unfortunate, but hopefully for Randy that, you know, this is something that is fixable, and then he comes back and he's Better than ever. Maybe he may have to develop another pitch, though, instead of having to rely on just, you know, the 97, 98 mile per hour fastball all the time.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we did hear about it in the offseason, too, that Buster Posey was talking about stretching guys out, having them not throw as hard, maybe to get a little more control under them. First pitch strikes, get those strikes. But then you got a guy like Randy Rodriguez who's got that arm. So how do you tell a guy like that, hey, don't throw 98, 99, 100, dial it back? Well, that's his whole game. So you get guys like that where that's their whole game. Hope he comes back still throwing hard, but a lot of times those guys come back different. So hopefully, I mean, you look, Robbie Ray came back and was the same pitcher, but he was never an overpowering pitcher. He was a guy who had a lot of movement on his stuff. So if Randy Rodriguez comes back and can still throw like 95, 96, 97, but has movement on his breaking pitches, he can still be a really nasty closer, you know, seventh, eighth inning guy, but also a closer. So, speedy recovery. We're probably not going to see him next year. If we do see him next year, maybe we see him a little bit in September. but most likely we won't see him till the spring of 2027. Man, it's already 2026 next year. Good Lord.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
So September call-ups, the Giants brought up JT Brubaker and Grant McCray. And I think from what I've sort of figured out based off of, because a lot of people are saying, oh, why isn't Bryce up? Why isn't Bryce up? And I think it's just because they don't want to bring him up in the midst of them trying to, you know, get back into the swing of things. They would probably want to bring him up when it's, you know, when these games matter less, if they do. But when I asked Jared about this, he said if they had any plans of doing so, they would have done so a few weeks ago when that clock wouldn't have mattered if they brought him up. And so he said when they didn't do that, he figured that they were not going to do it this year. So Luciano is another one who is just hitting bombs and people are wondering where he's going to, when he's going to come up. And I, you know, I just keep asking the question, well, where does he play? Because if you bring him up, he's either going to DH against left-handed pitching, and then that moves Devers. That makes sure that Devers plays first. Yeah. Or he's got to play left field, and then you have Eliot Ramos out in left field. So that's an interesting one, too.
Yeah, and then you burn an option when maybe you didn't need to this year. You know, keep one of his options for next year. If he has a tremendous spring training and forces himself into the lineup somewhere. But again, it's going to be, Giants have so many DH guys. We always talk about this. Cause again, where are you going to play Luciano? Really? Devers is going to be your DH. Bryce Eldridge is probably going to make the team. So you got your first baseman right there. Luciano, not an infielder anymore, struggles in the outfield. He's a DH. So do you trade him in the offseason? Do you let him just marinate in AAA, continue to hit? What did he hit here in Reno 2 days ago? A 508-foot shot out to center field, which crazy. Is almost, you know, I looked at the map again. I go to the ballpark all the time. That's pretty close to the train tracks. We have a train track, a train that runs right behind that, blows its whistle a couple times a game. I thought, man, he almost hit the train tracks out there. But yeah. What do you do with a guy like that? And now you got Matos, who's on fire too. So you got Matos on fire. You also got Gilbert. So now you all of a sudden you've got a wealth of outfielders. So you're gonna have a log jam in the outfield, and you're not gonna a guy who doesn't play the outfield well, but hits bombs. Does he win a spot? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in this offseason. I could see some trades. I could see some movement happening in this offseason before free agency really kind of kicks in, because that's when you can kind of get some of the better value for these guys. Although you can also argue you can get better value for these guys after free agency is over in spring training, and they go into spring training and hit like, you know, 350 with six home runs. Now all of a sudden you've got a guy, you can't use him because you have too many outfielders. So you move him then. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, and again, I always forget they change the rules every couple of years for September call-ups. Like what is the roster expanding?
Yeah. I don't know what, I don't know.
28, 29
bring up.
Yeah, I got to look that up. So,
what
28. So you can only add two more players than you already had. So,
what I'm interested in is I'm really interested to see what this Buster regime thinks about Luciano. How high do they still see him? Because if I am a team who, you know, maybe is looking to trade for some power on the cheap, I would definitely give a lower level prospect up for Luciano just because of the possible power potential. Will he ever be able to hit big league breaking balls? Who knows, right? But if you feel like you have a great system for guys like him, I would definitely look to trade for him. And it's just really what the Giants, how much the Giants value him, whether they're willing to give him away or whether they're going to hold pat on him. Because how much longer are you just going to let this guy just hit in AAA, you know, next year too? Like what's, you know, at some point, actually what happens to him? Is he available for the what is the waiver draft called? The
Rule 5.
The Rule 5. Yeah. Well, I haven't even looked that up yet. As far as his contract,
he might be a year off.
Okay,
might be a year off. I'm not 100% sure.
You know, as he gets a little bit older, more things like that come into play. So, if they feel like,
I mean, he's on the 40-man, so he's protected. He would have to be off the 40 man to be eligible for the, for the Rule 5. So yeah.
Right. All right. So some of the other things that have happened, we'll talk a little bit more about Devers. He's been on a roll. He's the player of the week in the National League, tied with Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber's like, I'm about to hit 50 some odd home runs this year, and you tie me with Rafael Devers. I hit four home runs in a game, and I'm tied for player of the week. Devers and Adames have been hot of late. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk about your guy, Drew Gilbert.
Yeah.
Four hits and a jack yesterday. He is, you know, he is the new baby Yaz. That's kind of what he reminds you of. The younger version, maybe the baby Yaz, the infant Yaz.
He's but with just like lights out crazy personality.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
We'll see if he grows a Yaz like mustache.
Yeah, there you go.
But what do you think about him so far?
I love him. You know what? If he continues to hit, he's going to be more fun to watch. A guy like that who goes nuts and, you know, grabs people and goes crazy when people hit home runs. If he continues to, you know, hit 123, it's fun. It's nice to have him on the team, but you still want that production. But now that he's hitting, you know, again, one game was at home, the next one was at Coors. If he can catch fire the rest of the season, like I said, we're going to have a lot of talk about who plays right field next year. Because again, Matos is starting to catch fire, and they're both good defensive players too. And that's kind of also what Buster and Bob Melvin want. They want good defensive players, but they also want guys who get on base, who make noise, and also make noise in the dugout and the clubhouse. And that's what they're looking for. And that's what they got out of Gilbert.
So do you think that he is going to be a possibility for a regular spot next year, or is he going to be kind of what we had hoped they were able to do with Yaz, which is just kind of a guy off the bench?
Yeah, it's a good possibility he's a fourth outfielder, but you could have a 3.5 outfielder between Matos and Gilbert. You can also dip into free agency and see who else is out there. Then you've got somebody who's expendable in either Gilbert or Matos, but I don't think Buster Posey goes after Gilbert, thinking that he's just going to be here for a half a year and then they're going to move him. He's 24 years old, controllable. And Matos is young too and controllable. So the Giants have a good problem because again, Ramos is also young and controllable. And Jung-Hoo Lee is also, you know, he's got 4 years left on his deal after this year. So yeah, it's going to be, like I said, going to be an outfield logjam, but it's going to be fun to watch to see what the Giants do with all of that.
By the way, Alex Pavlovich on Twitter said that if the Giants, or when the Giants, depending on how you look at this, fall out of the wild card race, that he would expect Jesus Rodriguez to come up, which would be fun to see.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about our players of the month for August. Now, we've been doing that this year. We were doing player of the week, and there were moments this year where we were like, do we have to pick a player of the week? Because there was none. I think we decided from here on out just to go players of the month. And what we are choosing is, one, first, the player of the month for hitter and pitcher. And then also kind of like the under the radar kind of unsung hero of the month as well. So what do we got? You got pitchers and I got hitters this month. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So I'm going hitters, and I'm going to talk about a guy. I know we don't usually talk about the game when it's going on, but Rafael Devers just hit a home run and then punched the starting pitcher.
What?
So that happened. I guess Kyle Freeland, starting pitcher for the Rockies, didn't like how slowly Devers started trotting and watched the ball. I mean, it was a towering home run, so it was a question. Yep, and then they're going at it again.
Wait, so he and Devers went toe-to-toe?
Yeah, so Devers hit a home run, watched it, then started slowly walking. Freeland came after him, and then Devers cracked him.
Oh my gosh!
And
just what we need.
Yeah, I know exactly. This team is catching fire, and you don't need the Rockies to start getting us kicked out. But speaking of Devers, and that's why I brought it up. He is my position player MVP of the month for the month of August. I got to pull up his numbers. That was some craziness. Wow. So Devers in the month of August was just absolutely on fire. 9 home runs, 20 ribs. That led the team. Hit .291, slugged .592. WRC plus of 176. He was definitely the guy this month that we knew we were going to get when we traded for him. Mm-hmm. Walk percentage, 14%. That I is there. K percentage down to 27%. It was really high when he first came over. So he is absolutely the offensive position MVP for the month of August.
All right. What about your unsung?
Yeah, we'll go straight to the unsung. And this is a guy we talked about a little bit earlier, kind of, and again, unsung is forgotten about, right? You don't think much of him, but he's a catalyst and does some fun things. And that's Jung-Hoo Lee. In the month of August, he hit .300. On base percentage of .340, slugging .450. He hit only one home run, but he had a lot of doubles. Only drove in 5 runs, but he did score 13 runs, stole 3 bases, got back on the base stealing venture there, which is nice to see. 122 WRC plus, offensive WAR of 3.8, overall WAR of 0.7. And I could have gone Luis Matos. We talked about him earlier in August that he had, and I thought, I could go Luis Matos. He hit .415. So that was awesome. I mean, again, fun to see Matos really become that guy again. But the difference maker for me, and this is why I say, position player MVP and unsung, is because when you look at, I got to pull it up again, but when you look at defense, and we kind of thought, you know, earlier, Jung-Hoo Lee was, you know, kind of having some problems defensively. But when you look at it over the month of August, he was the number seven center fielder in all of baseball in preventing runs with a plus two fielding run value. And we kind of knocked his defense earlier in the year. But not only seventh as a center fielder in all of baseball and outfielders, all of the outfielders combined, he was 13th. So that's where I gave him the edge, because we have seen him make some great plays, did some fantastic things in the outfield, and got on base and scored runs. And so he's my unsung guy.
So for the pitching side, I think it's been pretty consistent with Logan Webb. He was back to being Logan Webb after he had some troubles there a little bit. But the unsung one is actually more interesting, because it is somebody who has had a bit of a rough year and who we were talking about. Ryan Walker has been pretty darn good in the month of August, and I would have him as my unsung. You could even have him as your pitcher of the year. I just give to Logan because he's just so consistent. And
yeah.
And it's like, you know, what's funny is going back to that 2021 year, like if he was on the mound, they just didn't lose. Like that was the thing. And now he's on the mound and he's pitching even better. And he's like a 500 pitcher, which is frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating for him. Yeah. So, you know, but he's just been consistent. Like it's the one thing about this team is their level of being able to put it together for the whole season, consistent wise. Like, hey, maybe we're not going to be the biggest basher team of all time, but how about we just play a consistent brand of baseball? If they didn't fall off the cliff in July, you know, they might still be right in the thick of things. But because they've been so inconsistent, you know, now we're seeing what we're seeing. We're like, oh, this is who they should have been all along, and yet they're five games out of the wild card. Logan Webb is the opposite of that. He is so consistent and predictable as far as what he's going to give you. Yeah, he's going to have a couple of shaky starts here and there. Everybody does. But the guy has been just nails for the Giants, and hopefully they can put this thing together, whether it's by the end of this year or next year. And then you talk about a guy who's in the mix for like Cy Young kind of stuff, because he may even lead the league in strikeouts this year. That's how good he's been. So
yeah, and he's talked about, you know, he wants to hit those 200 innings, and he can. You know, he pitches tonight if he ever gets on the mound. They're still trying to start this whole thing out in the top of the first. But if, you know, and it's hard to do in Colorado to get your seven or eight innings. But if anybody can, Webb can. You know what I mean? He can limit the damage. He can get those ground balls. He can get those double plays. Does what he needs to do. But yeah, that's three times he's won the pitcher of the month MVP for us, which is pretty awesome. I mean, it's so great to have a pitcher to count on like that. And it's so great to have a Robbie Ray and go into next season knowing we've got a 1-2. But now that we've got through the players of the month, I want to ask you, so I was thinking about this yesterday, what would I do now at this point that we've seen Verlander become that guy again?
It's funny. I think we have the same question, because I was going to ask you the same thing.
Yeah. What do you do next year? Do you sign him to another 1-year deal? Does he want to play for us again for another 1-year deal? It seems like pitching an Oracle is kind of nice for him. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I would welcome that at this point. I know we called him washed a few months ago, but again, he's coming off an injury and everything else. And now we've seen what he can be. And then you give him the run support and he can be that guy. So
he is making $15 million this year.
Yep.
Do the Giants bring him back for 15?
You know,
what is the average four starter with a certain level of experience. I don't know what that number is. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's going to go up next year too. That's the thing, right? Because it's new year. So
I wonder if, it's up to him really, right? Like, yeah. If he enjoyed the experience of being on this team or not, because he may just be like, you know, it was fine, but I can probably do this somewhere else. I mean, you know, not to say he could even go back to Detroit. Detroit's one of the best teams in the league right now, but
yeah.
You know, he could go back. He could go somewhere where he's been in the past and
he can go to Houston. Maybe he
feels Houston may want him again. Yeah. So yeah. I would like to know what he thought about this season. I mean, he said all the right things. He's been a tremendous teammate, even though he's been getting screwed left and right with the offense and the defense behind him. He's been the, you know, ultimate professional. So I've loved that about him, but the, we were very hard on him in early in the year. Because he was getting hit. He was giving up some really loud hits and some loud outs. But as the season has gone on, he's pitched a lot better. I mean, and he fatigued himself through 5 innings and 120 some odd pitches to get those 10 strikeouts the other day. So he's battling. Now, he will be in season 20. I think he said that as far as the things that he looks like, or he looks at, which is like pitch shapes and velocity and all those things, he's like, it's about the same as I was the last time I won the Cy Young. Now, I don't know how much of that is talking himself into it, or if that is the reality, like that. I haven't heard anybody else say it except for him. So that would be interesting. I am for bringing back a guy who is a professional and who can actually, do it at a high level. It's just unfortunate that if they don't make it to the playoffs, it'd be nice to see him in the postseason, but probably not. That's probably not going to happen. I would not be against him being the fourth or the fifth guy in the rotation next year. And plus, now we got this situation with Landon Roop's knee. Hayden Birdsong can't find the plate. You don't have Kyle Harrison because he was in the trade. What are you going to do with Keaton Wynn, Tristan Beck? Are those guys real? Kai Tang. I screwed up his name.
Kai Wei Tang.
Kai Wei Tang, who pitched well yesterday, but is he real? He seems a little bit more like a journeyman kind of guy.
Yeah, we're going into free agency with the number one priority as like a 3, 4, and 5 pitcher.
I mean, you have Robbie Ray for one more season.
Sure. Yeah.
And so does that mean you want to bring back Verlander as your 3 or 4? And what does it mean for the young guys? I think they have some questions that they need to answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as Roop is healthy, I think he's got to come back as a dependable arm, right? And maybe then they look for someone who could come from the left side, because you only have Robbie Ray right now coming from the left side. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting offseason. Yeah.
And you've got Wisenhunt, who, you know, again, develop a third pitch, and Wisenhunt could be that guy. You know what I mean? So, there's a lot of moving parts in the offseason. That's why I always say, an offseason after you win a World Series is not very exciting. There's not going to be a whole lot that's happening, right? An offseason after you win like or lose like 90 to 100 games, yeah, I mean, there may not be a whole lot because you can't just grab 2 or 3 guys and all of a sudden you're a playoff team. But an offseason like this, where you're close to 500 and you get an offseason with Buster Posey in his second year, there's going to be some stuff happening. So that's what's exciting. That's what I look forward to. I love that stuff.
Yeah, no, I did. The Verlander conversation is a pretty good conversation. I'm interested in see how he feels and how they feel about him as well. I've turned the corner on him. For sure.
I think we all have. But again, I think we would have turned the corner on him sooner had our offense been there for him, because there were probably 3 or 4 games earlier in the season he could have gotten 3 or 4 more wins, and he was pitching well before he had a couple of blowups. But you know, That happens when you're a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. And does that turn him off? So that's going to be the big question.
All right, let's wrap things up by just looking at the playoff picture here. Now, the wild card race in the American League is the Yankees and the Red Sox head and shoulders above the Mariners for those wild card spots. But the Mariners are still a game and a half above the Rangers and 2.5 games above the Royals. So we are about, 25-ish games left in the regular season. It does look like there may be a possibility of one of those spots kind of coming down to the wire, which would be fun to watch. And then when you look at the division, the Blue Jays still have a couple games of a lead there. The Tigers are heads and shoulders above. The Astros are a little bit of a paper tiger, I think. They win baseball games. Their run differential is very minimal. They almost have the same run differential as the Giants, actually. But they're still three games, I think, ahead of the Mariners in the West. And then in the National League, the Brewers are the cream of the crop here. They have the best record in baseball by about 5 games. The Phillies are heads and shoulders in the East. And the Dodgers are a couple of games ahead of the Padres. The Dodgers are, I think, you know, there were some people who thought they were going to win 110 games, and it's clearly not the case.
People thought they were going to win 120 games. I don't know about 100.
But at the same time, you know, even in a season where they seem to be struggling, you got to give them credit to still be at the top of the National League West. And I hate giving them credit, but, you know, for a team that seems to have more questions than answers, and then they're still have 78 wins right now.
It's easy to struggle when you have that many all-stars.
Yeah, they got a good roster. The Cubs are the National League wild card lead right now. They play in the Central, which means they're 6 games behind the Brewers. But if the Brewers were like the Phillies and the Dodgers, the Cubs would be right there for the division, but they're not. And then the Mets, we mentioned, are the third wild card. So the Reds are 4 games behind the Mets. The Giants are 5 games behind the Mets. And the Reds have struggled in their last 10, while the Giants are 8-2 in their last 10. And then the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals are right below the Giants. So that is what it looks like with, what do we got, like 3 weeks? No, probably like four, about a month left, a little bit over a month left in the regular season here. So it'll be an interesting race, as it always is, with that third wild card. All right, so we will be back, unfortunately, because of the holiday, on a Tuesday. So, we'll just get to talk to each other in 6 days rather than 7 days. So
exactly. That'll be fun. Yeah. And it's going to be exciting stuff because, again, what I just counted, 26 games left. We go to St. Louis, and before we come home, we'll be able to kind of wrap up that series. And haven't been to St. Louis, God. I feel like we haven't been to St. Louis since like 2 years, it feels like, because it's so late in the season to actually go to St. Louis. So.
Yeah, and then every time I watch the Giants play in St. Louis, it feels like it's 100 degrees just watching.
I have been, okay, so I've been to a Giants-Cardinals game, 2 games, Giants-Cardinals, 1997, middle of July. And it was like 101 game or 101 degrees a game time. And this is a night game that started at like 7 o'clock, 101 degrees. And the humidity was like 85-90%. It is miserable. So yeah, but at least it's early September. So maybe get a little bit of a cool down. Anytime you go to the Midwest, if you could push it till September, that's a good thing.
Yep. For sure. So yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back next week, and gonna see what's going on here with the. As Brad was describing, I couldn't tell if Devers actually punched the pitcher. He did not get kicked out of the game.
No,
it was Chapman and Adames. And what happened is, as Devers was running around first, or he was jogging around first, the pitcher was yelling at him. Freeland was yelling at him. And then Devers was yelling back. Like, Devers was like running backwards kind of around the bases. And then you see Chapman come in and kind of like give Freeland a forearm shiver.
Yeah.
And so he kind of escalated things. So he must have said something that pissed Chapman off like crazy. And then Adames kind of restarted things after they kind of cooled down, I guess, or not cooled down, but looked like maybe they were cooling down. So the Giants lose two of their middle hitters here, and but they're up 2-0. Has Adames even rounded the bases yet? Like, what's going on?
So he finally rounded the bases, but and of course this will be all kind of out by the time this show airs, but the lineup right now is a mess because we had to lose our DH. If you go into it, we had to lose our DH. So Dom Smith, I don't know where Flores. So Wilmer Flores is DH. He's going to have to come into the game, probably play third.
Dom Smith. So they're going to have to hit the pitcher. The Giants are going to actually have to use a pitcher to bat.
Yeah. In this game. So Logan Webb, if he wants his 200 innings this year, he's going to get himself probably 3 good at bats today.
Hey, so he's going yard.
Oh man.
Remember at the end of the 2021 season when they had to go to the last day to beat the Dodgers, he hit a jack in that game.
He's probably geared up now. He's probably like, all right, I'm at Coors. I'll take 3 at bats. Let's do this.
There you go. All right. We will be back next week for Brad. I'm Double G. Shout out to Rob. Thanks for hanging out with us in the chat there. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.